Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Isaiah 54 and 1 through 7. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy inhabitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth. When thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. My subject today is simply sing, O barren. Withered, wondering if anything will ever grow. Confused by yesterday's promises that are today's disappointments. Wandering in a daze of unfulfillment. Desert thirsty, wasteland dry, withered and weathered. Storms of tears rain where the raindrops of hope on dreams has been drought-like and lonely. You feel the sting of the sun. You feel the sand in the back of your throat. You feel the aches in the soul of travels, travels of nothing, seeing nothing, feeling nothing, knowing nothing. Barren, no fruit, brittle branches, dying hopes. Skeleton trees stand on moonscape territories like apocalyptic remains of something that used to be alive and verdant and lovely and fresh. Now dead, now dry, now daunting, now dreadful. Where are the sprouts? Who hid the seeds in a grave when they were supposed to be in a garden? Why are the valleys empty as if they have been transported to some lifeless planet in a faraway lifeless galaxy? As if the seeds sown were sown in a place that has never known the flow of water, or the warmth of a life-giving sun, or the struggle of a root pushing against the impossibility of the depths to be born a plant, a tree, a life form of fruit and harvest. But sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Someone is attracted to you. Someone with all power for your weakness. Someone with all love for the hate you've been shown. Someone with joy for the grief you've been stuck in, bound in, perpetuating in. Break forth into singing. The minor chords of a funeral song are exchanged for the triumphant orchestra and symphony of heaven's gifts. The Creator has come to your aid. The God of the impossible has stepped onto your scene, into the empty pages of your desolation. A birthing is coming, and not just one scarce cry of a baby to be heard only by a few, but of millions of babies, millions of souls born of blood and water. Born of light out of darkness, born of truth out of heathen and pagan idolatries, born of hope away from Moloch's fires and Baal's deceiving orchards. The destitute will now be astute. They will be wise to the lies of a thousand devils under a thousand starless skies that told them, accused them, convinced them that they would never see the dawn of a better day, that they would never hold the children of their own birthing, that they would have to adopt the foreign hopes of a devil's dream, of another kindred, bound to sin and death and starvation. But the children of the desolate, he says, will outnumber the children of the married wife. One commentator says, Israel was like a woman who had no children and was therefore in a continual state of mourning. But by God's sovereignty and grace, he will enable her to have many children, so she will break into song and shout for joy. Jerusalem, once desolate and mourning, as depicted in Lamentations 1 and 1 through 5, will be revitalized and teeming with people. Also, like a nomad who had so many children, he has to enlarge his tent to accommodate them all. Israel's descendants will increase and even settle in the cities of foreign nations because there will not be enough room for them in their homeland. Another commentator said, the Church of God under the Old Testament, confined within the narrow bounds of the Jewish nation, and still more so in respect of the very small number of true believers, and which sometimes seem to be deserted of God, her husband, is the barren woman that did not bear and was desolate. She is exhorted to rejoice and to express her joy in the strongest manner on the reconciliation of her husband and on the accession of the Gentiles to her family. Oh, what a great picture of hope in this passage, both to Israel and the future generations of Gentiles who would have an Acts 2:38 experience, that would have the river of the Holy Ghost flow out of them, that would enjoy the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that would understand that the kingdom of God would no longer be narrowed or confined to a race, but to a whole world, to every culture, to every creed, to every background. My friend, as you look at the situations in your life, I encourage you today, don't settle for what you've been told is too old in the past. Some don't believe the windows of heaven open anymore, that miracles are outdated, that Pentecostal faith had an expiration date on it centuries ago. It's like the moment when Elisha boldly pronounced in 2 Kings to the famine-stricken Samaritans that within 24 hours a measure of fine flour would be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley would be sold for a shekel. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned cynically spouted off, "If the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" But the undaunted prophet simply responded that the man would see it with his eyes, but would not be a partaker of it. In the latter stages of the chapter, when the incredible news came to town about the spoils of the Syrian army on the outskirts of the city, the excited throngs moved so fast that the Lord on whose hand the king leaned was trampled. You see, some are partakers of the promise, while others are trampled by the truth. Don't let your pride keep you from a promise. Don't let your stubbornness steal your storehouse. Don't let cynicism step on your miracle. Secondly, don't settle for what has been cold in the past. Job 24 and 7, they cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. This was indicative of the wandering nomad. They had to quickly acclimate to the intense reversal of temperature from the hot blistering rays of the day sun to the brutally bone-chilling cold of the desert night. Oh, my friend, you don't have to settle for the cold in the past, the chilling disappointments of the long desert nights. Break forth into singing. A new day has come under the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a day of peace that warms the soul, a day of hope that builds fires of comfort, a day of love that transfers you from the frigid feelings of broken relationships. Oh, my friend, when you experience the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you discover that there is forgiveness from every failure, that there is salvation from every sin, that the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross can make you blameless today, that you can have liberty in your life, that you can walk in the light of truth and honesty and integrity, because you can repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is a glorious promise from God. When you discover that, friend, you don't have to walk around feeling as though you are left out in the cold. No, you be brought into the warm confines of the kingdom of God. For Romans 14 and 17 said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost." Proverbs 20 and 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." One commentary says, "In the Middle East, the season for plowing and planting is the winter, the rainy season. A sluggard avoids the discomfort and work of plowing a muddy field in the cold. So at harvest time, he looks for a crop from his field, but he has nothing. Without effort and advanced planning, there are few results, and the lack of work leads to the lack of benefits." Oh, my friend, maybe your broken heart has kept you from moving in the field. It's cold in areas of the soul, and you don't want to move. But I encourage you to get up and get on the move. Plow and plant again. Pray again. Believe again. Don't let the discomforts of the temporary elements keep you from the outcome of your trial. You'll be victorious. Don't settle for the cold of the past, when you could do nothing, when you would do nothing, when you were told you should do nothing. Do it now. Pray it now. Get ready for the harvest of God's blessings to come. Get ready for the change of heart, the reset of the mind, the recourse of your journey from failure to success. Break forth into singing. Sing, O barren. Children are coming. Harvest is coming. Growth is coming. Another commentator says of this passage that the meaning of the proverb is, "The slothful man, out of the pretense of unfavorable weather, neglects cultivating his land till the proper time is elapsed." Oh, my friend, how often do we miss the opportunities of the supernatural because we base it on what we see? We look into the distance and we see what appears to be troubling clouds, when yet they are clouds without water. They're just momentary distractions to try to get us to sit down on our faith rather than to make a stand or to move forward. Don't be fooled by the cynical forecasts of those that have no faith. They stand in a place of pretension and act like, because of unfavorable weather, they can't move on or do anything according to the Word of God. But you see, the Word of God is all powerful. It's a sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My friend, if he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, don't you think he's discerned your direction before you even take the first step? So don't listen to those that would put a fog of uncertainty in your path and make you feel unclear about the next step. If the Word of God is giving you direction, if the man of God in your life has confirmed it through the preaching of the Word, if you have felt affirmation after affirmation by those you're submitted to in the apostolic government of your life, oh, my friend, then move forward. Stop listening to the forecasts of the unfaithful and follow in the footsteps of the faithful. For blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Friend, there's going to be those who are going to mock your process in the miracle. They're going to laugh at your attempts because you'll stagger along or stumble here and there or try to find your balance in the middle of the storm. But, oh, my friend, listen to the Word of God. That's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Walk in the projecting powers and comforts of a word of prophecy, of the promises made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he would not leave you comfortless. He would not forsake you. Matthew 24:12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." You have to realize that sin is on the rise. Transgression is elevating to new heights of defilement and defamation of truth. Rebellion builds its Babel-like towers in the deserts of dead religion. And because there are so many opinions to live by in the world, people are simply wore out with religion, and they put God in the dead God category, mark off his word as unsatisfactory and useless. The candle of hope is not even a wisp of smoke, and the hardening wax in the passionless places of the heart makes it difficult to even feel the presence of God. So many are left with bleak bitterness, arctic attitudes, icy ideas, wintry words, polar practicalities prescribed by atheistic talking heads. They make themselves cold and indifferent to the Word of God because they won't even believe the Word of God. But I say to you today, sing, O barren. Come out of the cold. Feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, my friend, don't settle for what you've been told in the past. You see, the enemy is a master at getting you to question what God has commanded. He did it with Eve in the garden. He did it with the grumbling, stiff-necked Israelites in the wilderness. He did it with generations after Joshua, who no longer trusted the God of miracles, but adopted idols of other nations. For the accuser will tell you what you did wrong, not to have the blessings of God, not to believe that God will work for you, not to believe that his way is best. He'll make you feel unworthy of love and existence. But know the voice of the shepherd. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Don't be fooled by the false claims of manipulative people who only aim to steer you in the direction of their control. Don't be counseled by godless men or women who tolerate sin, live perverse, and then want to load you down with rebellious ideas as to the only options you have. My friend, Jesus is a door of escape, a threshold of deliverance. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't listen to the things of yesterday that maybe trapped your mind or caused you to live in a certain place of unbelief. Hear the voice of the Lord today. Know that the Word of God is true. Know that he makes a way where there is no way, that you don't have to be in a place of loneliness and unlove. For Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved." And then Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Don't settle for what you've been told in the past. God has a better way. God has a better word. God has a better will for your life if you'll trust it. And then last today, my friend, don't settle for what you've been sold in the past. Don't be fooled by the salesmanship of Satan. Don't lose your birthright of God's promises for Esau's bowl of beans. Refuse to barter with darkness for shortcut methods of pain relief in the form of illegal drugs and alcohol or illicit behavior. Throw the 30 pieces of silver back at the enemy and let your mind be filled with truth rather than betraying doctrines of devils. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and nothing hell has to offer can compare to that. Everything else is a cheap substitute for the invaluable grace of God. My friend, you have the best. Stay blessed. Find Holy Ghost rest. Don't take Lucifer's quest. Don't buy the fool's gold of iniquity, but trust the God of infinity and stay with the riches of His grace. Don't lose your place for the cheap chase of things that disgrace. Anger, adultery, fornication, envy, strife, rebellion, hatred, vindictiveness, pride, and lust. For all these debase and erase what God has given by His grace. So when the tempter shows up on your doorstep, decide that you will reside in the house of God, that you will remain no matter how good the salesman can explain the delights of his domain. You will not buy his brand. You will not sell out the truth. You will not exchange something priceless for that which is worth nothing. You can't be bought out because you've already been brought out. And even though you are sought out by the sweet-tasting inventions of hell well thought out, you won't settle for what you've been sold in the past. For now, through the blood of Jesus, through an Acts 2:38 experience, you have the pearl of great price. You have the golden streets of the New Jerusalem that you are eternally invested in. You have the walls of jasper that fare better than any flashy fences of Satan's world. 1 Peter 1:18-20, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. God's got a blessing for you. If you make up your mind, you're not going to settle for what you've been told, sold, or what you've been told is too old, or the cold, and those things of the world, and those things that would contradict and be a demonic contrast to the Word of God in your life. Walk into the light. Step out of the shadows of your shame today. Be free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Know that there is love that surpasses all of the affections of this world. And when you set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, you find out that the investments of eternity are worth far more than any temporary satisfaction here. Don't let sin and the deceptions of this day dupe you, my friend. Know that no matter how barren it looks right now in your walk with God or how withered certain promises may be, know that the Word of God tells you to sing, O barren. There's a day of rejoicing. There's a time of breaking forth in the singing, of expanding your tent, of stretching out the canvas and knowing that the blessings of God are going to come in abundance in Jesus' name.
Started talking strange, another one began to shine. This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.